Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Who? Who?
And welcome and good morning. I'm Harry Miller.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikin.
And welcome to the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour. We are coming to you from several remote, undisclosed locations in the Capital District, David and me, and Ben Patton on the boards. here we are.
Say, Harry,
what?
Let's just say that if they bomb you, they took me out too.
Dave and I are in the same building, but we're in different offices.
They're socially distant.
We are socially distant, physically remote, and gloved and masked. Who is that masked man? And anyway, welcome. As you know, we're here each Saturday morning to talk to you about, answer your questions. It's a live talk show about wills, trusts, Medicaid planning, asset protection planning. We are obviously in the midst of a global pandemic, a very heavy one here in the United States, and so there are a lot of things going on in the area of Medicaid, home care, and other things that many of you may have questions about this morning. So feel free to call in over the next hour. Dave and I are here. The number is the same number you always call, 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. So, David, it's snowing out there.
It is snowing. It's we were talking about how it's April 18th and it's snowing, and you started talking about something else that happened on April 18th some time ago.
Well, it is. It is a very important anniversary that many of you may have forgotten, because today is the anniversary of Paul Revere's ride. Remember, there was a wonderful poem written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow called The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. It was the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive. And I won't go on. Don't worry. And I won't start singing. But
so, Harry, what was it like seeing Paul Revere during his ride?
I knew that was coming.
Well, I was I am old, but I am not that old, David. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember a rock group in the 60s called Paul Revere and the Raiders, and I'll bet Ben does, too.
I absolutely remember that.
Who was that guy? I forget what the guy's name was. He was. They were very famous for a couple of years, and then they just kind of disappeared. they're never as big as the Beatles or the Rolling Stones, but they were one of the mop-headed boy bands from England that came over here in the early 1960s. So anyway, that was that.
Well, Harry, you haven't been on the radio for some time, and that was because you were down in Carolina for a little while, and then
I was down in North Carolina. Go ahead.
We were not actually doing radio for a couple weeks, and now the last 3-4 weeks, what we've been doing is this, we've been calling into our own show, which is interesting. So. A lot has changed, right? We can't talk about our in-person seminars anymore because we don't have in-person seminars. And what we've been doing the last couple of weeks is really, advocating for people to look at their documents while they're sitting at home and make sure that their documents still make sense. If they don't have any estate planning documents, if they don't have a trust or a will or power of attorney, my goodness, they should. It's not too late. And in fact, we've been describing to people, the changes New York State has made to accommodate this pandemic. So, for example, and we were emailing about this yesterday, I can notarize your signature, Harry Miller, by video. I can witness document. I can witness your will signing by video now. And obviously what
we're doing one. I think we did one yesterday. We did a remote, I think Jane Marie, they live in Long Island. They live in Levittown, which is probably where, Nassau County. And we are redoing their wills. And Jane Marie supervised the execution. She was here in our office at Corporate Woods, and the husband and wife were in their house in Long Island, and we had the witnesses were here, okay, and the notary and all that stuff, and they remotely executed their documents in, you know, in the presence of the witnesses, and it's done. And they were very, I'll tell you why, because, you know, the wife is an ER nurse at a hospital in Long Island, and she, you know, she wanted to make sure her estate planning documents were in good order. She's in her 50s, and they're, you know, they're a lovely couple. Yeah.
Well, you kind of bring up this different kind of busy that we've been, because we're getting lots of phone calls, and it leads to, I call it bad busy, which is where people are saying, hey, could you do a power of attorney for me, and can I come by tomorrow to pick it up? And normally we don't operate in such a quick turnaround. Certainly we could on a one-off basis and to accommodate everyone's needs, but we really like it when you plan ahead. That's the whole name of the game, right? Whether it's for long-term care or for, you know, a possible incapacity down the road. We don't want this to be a rush job for you. We want you to put a lot of thought into it. We want you to plan in advance. Obviously, if you don't have any documents, call us. We can make that happen quite quickly. And thanks to some of these changes, we can do it remotely. We can send you your documents. And we've even done, actually, the vast majority of the document signings we've done, Harry, have been, it sounds weird, it's been outside in the parking lot.
We're doing parking lot executions. Yeah, we are. And it's, tell them, it's You've probably done more than anybody in the office, so why don't
I've done a lot.
Description of how that happens, because clients out there, you don't even have to get out of your car, right?
For the most part. So, you know, it's not one of these you sign and you drive off and you're all done type of things. The process itself is a lot more involved, because your documents are only good. They only make sense if they make sense to you. You need to understand your own documents, and it's not, I'm not going to, you know, this isn't some closing where we're going to say, here, just sign here. You know, you've done a closing before, it's all the same. We go through with the client over the phone 24 or 48 hours prior to them coming to our quote-unquote parking lot, right? We are, they have their drafts, Harry. You have their drafts, and we're going through every page, every paragraph, like we normally would in a regular document signing, so the client understands everything. All the questions are out of the way. All last-minute changes are out of the way. And then when they actually come in, while we obviously gloved, masked, in the comfort of their own car, we hand them an envelope that we prepared very carefully, has all their documents, all the sign here, initial here. They can take as much time as they want.
Right? You got little stickies that say sign here, date here.
Yeah.
And they sit in the car, and you're observing them signing the documents.
Yes, and answering questions they may have. Obviously, if they said, you know, can we change this paragraph, that's not going to happen. Right. Mm-hmm. So we like to get those changes out of the way over the phone. But that way we know our clients got the Herzog experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, not to say that, oh my God, you know, we're so great. It's we take a lot of time to go through your documents. It's not uncommon to have a document signing be over two appointments, because the client has a lot of questions. Right. And they're really not sure about their trust, and they really want to get it, and that's important to us. So we've come up with a way to have people sign their documents while we still maintain the quality of service that you know, we've had for decades now, right? That you've had for decades.
Right.
So
mm-hmm.
Terribly important. And we thought initially people would say, you know what, we'll call you after this thing's all over, this pandemic's over. We thought people were not going to be inclined to sign their documents. It's been just the opposite. Everyone wants to come in and sign. They want to get their look-back period started. They want to make sure their power of attorney is in effect, that their will says that the right assets go to the right people. Because
and the health care proxies. My goodness, these people, you know, did a health care proxy maybe 5-10 years ago, the last time they were in the hospital for something. And, you know, time and circumstances change. And it may be that the person you selected 5 or 6 years ago isn't the same person that you want to be in that position now. So this is why David, you know, while we're weathering this storm, not only the snow outside today, but this pandemic storm, it makes a lot of sense for all of you listeners out there to, you know, get open the drawer wherever you stuffed this stuff when you left the lawyer's office the last time, and review it. Review the names and the people that you've selected to be
your trustee, your executor, your healthcare agent, and your power of attorney, because if they're the same people, fine. And in most cases, that's going to be the same people. But if something's changed, if the person you selected 5 years ago is too old or has moved to Arizona or just can't
or
do it.
Or doesn't exist anymore, Harry.
Yeah.
Or if they don't
or
exist.
Has died. Or has died, yes.
Yeah. You know, it's I like being positive and glass half full and all that. I tend to look at the brighter side of the news. And you know, the things that I look at that I think our community, our state, our country maybe will get out of this, personally for estate planners, it's people realize that stuff happens in life and you really need to prepare and have these basic documents, right? So that's a good thing, I think, overall for people to prepare. I got to tell you, we're going to talk about these webinars, Harry, that we're doing through a service called Zoom, where
we have Zoom,
in their cars. People don't need to, you know, just the amount of air pollution that's been reduced. All that, you know, like I think we're going to come out of this with a new way of living where we're a little more efficient, even within the office, just looking around, you know. We're forced to do things now a different way, which then says, well, maybe some of these things we should adopt going forward. Maybe we should have a lot more webinars. That kind of thing.
Exactly, exactly. I know, it's very efficient. So we have, we got a couple of these set up this coming week, don't we, David?
We do. We have a week of webinars. And then what we're going to do going forward after this next week is every Wednesday is going to be Webinar Wednesday. There you go. Easy to remember. This coming week, though, we are going to do kind of our best of seminars. And each day at 1 p.m., we're going to have a webinar. It's through a service called Zoom. It's really easy to either call into the webinar or to view it.
Yeah, we have it on our laptop at home. It's free, too, isn't it?
It is free.
It's a free service of telecommunicating.
Right. And so, for example, on Monday, on the 20th, we're going to be doing a 1 p.m. webinar on wills versus trusts. So many of you have been to the actual seminar. If you've been elbowing a family member that they really should go to one of these, right, you could just do it on the comfort of your own couch, which is quite nice. On Tuesday at 1 p.m., the webinar will be about Community Medicaid, and we're going to spend pretty much the whole second half of this show, except for phone calls, of course, talking about huge changes to Community Medicaid.
Dramatic changes in the home care program that were enacted in this year's budget that went into effect on April 1st, and David and I will spend the last half hour probably going over the details of that.
Yeah. On Wednesday, so this is the 22nd of April at 1 p.m., we will do our more traditional estate and Medicaid planning hour seminar, where we go from things like healthcare proxies and powers of attorney, like we were talking about, to some rather complicated Medicaid crisis planning. And there's a little evolution through the course that I think is quite helpful. On Thursday at 1 p.m., we'll be talking about some specific estate planning and Medicaid planning myths. So we're going to get to some specific questions that we get a lot, questions that indicate to us that a client, a prospective client, got some bad information somewhere because a will does not avoid probate, for example, right? Things like that. And then Friday at 1 p.m., because this Community Medicaid, this Care at Home program, the changes are so big, we're going to do it again. We're going to have another seminar on those specific changes. Of course, this is the aging in place, the care on your couch, whatever you want to call it, seminar. So that in particular, Tuesday and Friday. Now, how can you register for these seminars, Harry Miller? I know you were asking in your head.
Yeah, what do you do? Do you call the office? Do you go on our website, or how do you sign up for this thing? Because unlike a regular seminar, we can have an unlimited number of people, right? And you know, so
well,
it doesn't matter what
limit.
The weather is.
It's 100 per seminar. Of course, if we get to 101, I'm sure we'll find a way to increase the capacity on the site. But you can call our office at 518-465-7581 and say you'd like to go to one of the seminars. You can email us at info@herzoglaw.com. That's info@herzoglaw.com. You could also go to our website, which is www.herzoglaw.com. Click on the seminar page, and there you'll see all five seminars with a link that you can click, and you'll be registered. You just fill in your name and email, and you're all set.
And so that's all you have to do. You have to leave your name and an email address, right? Is that it? Or you have to leave a phone number?
Nope.
And it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, you could be in your house with three other people looking at the computer, so it doesn't, you know, doesn't matter whether it's just one person or three people, right?
Absolutely. And you'll have the ability to ask questions through typing them in, and you know, we're hoping that this is one of those things that we could take advantage of in the long term. So I know I've had lots of clients before who just missed the seminar because we had it last week, right? Or we're not doing aging in place for another 3 months, for example. But, you know, they're not ready to commit to anything, but they really want some more information. So we anticipate that all of our seminars are going to be available afterwards, kind of on demand by, you know, by going to our website. So it's going to be really helpful. You know, we do everything, Harry, to educate our clients and the public as best we can. And having this information available free and on demand is only going to increase our ability to do that. So we're really excited about it.
Absolutely. That's great. So, by the way, if any of you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. The number here at Magic 590 is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. If you got any questions to come up, if you're wondering about something to do with your estate plan, transferring a piece of property, making a gift, tax, you know, IRAs and beneficiary designations, we can still, those things are still going on. You know, we're open for business. Banks are still open for business. And brokerage firms and insurance companies are still, they're doing things remotely just like we are. But we can, it takes a little longer to get things done in some of these situations. But,
you know, Harry, operating. Our neighbor has a couple times texted Isabel and I asking if we would be nice enough to witness some documents they have. And the documents have been all beneficiary designation documents, right? They're changing something, you know, under IRA or what have you. And I can't tell you how, I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me. So this is our friend, our neighbor, right? So they come to our front stoop, right, to and they will place the piece of paper with a weight on top of it, you know, like a little rock.
Right.
They'll step away from the paper. We open up our door. All right. We go to the paper and carefully, without touching anything, we sign without touching the paper. Incredibly difficult to do. And then we place the rock back on if need be. We step away from the paper so they could then pick up their documents.
Please step away from the paper.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But, you know, better safe than sorry, right?
You have to be. You have gloves. You know, we have gloves and masks now, and or at least many people do. And we have to do these things. It's a little slower and a little more cumbersome, but it does eventually. It gets done. It gets done, and that's important. I have to notarize some things last week. I have, you know, I was telling you earlier. I just two and a half weeks ago, my wife and I moved her mother into our house from her. She was living in a senior. She was out at Beltrone on off of Wolf Road, and she'll be 97 years old next week on Tuesday, and she has home health care, but she has about 12 hours a day of home health care there, and the building was, and I believe still is, in a lockdown situation. They're not allowing anyone in that building other than residents. Now, the certified home health care aides who were going there were allowed to go in, but she was alone all night, and she can't walk. So, and my wife couldn't even get in the building. So we moved her to our house, and that's where she is. So she has, but there was someone there from the Visiting Nurses Association, because they're doing physical therapy for her, and she filled out this form, and she said, oh, I have to get it notarized. I'm a notary. I'll notarize it. So I keep my stamp now in my briefcase, so it's available at all times. And you know what? It saved probably a half a day for her having to get back to the office, find a notary, and then get it wherever it got, because she left my house with a notarized document, and so she could just take it on to the next place where it had to go.
Whatever it takes, Harry Miller. Right? Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. So you know. hidden behind this, and we were talking about this, Debbie and I were talking about this about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
We were saying that amongst all this, there was some aid provided by the federal government that New York State actually did not qualify for. And it was maybe round one or round two of the stimulus that's been going around. And the reason why New York didn't qualify for it was one of the prerequisites for your state to get this aid from the federal government was that you cannot be meddling with the Medicaid program. And Governor Cuomo, in a number of his press conferences, lamented the fact there are proven money that we can't even get because of this prerequisite. And he said...
That was about $6 billion, wasn't it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was not hiding it. He was saying, look, I've been messing with Medicaid for months. I have a committee that's been looking to see how we can make this, you know, air quotes, more efficient. But really, you know, where could we save some bucks here and there? New York's not in great financial shape, what have you. And we said, look, the pandemic's going on, but underneath, this is not going to be a headline in the local newspaper, right? This isn't going to be leading the news broadcasts on TV. Is that there's been this committee looking to see how they could save money on the Medicaid program, and they had their eyes, Harry, on home care.
Sure.
And they had a wish list, or at least the governor had a wish list that included things like a 5-year look-back period to qualifying for home care, just like there is for nursing home care. They were looking at eliminating spousal refusal abilities.
Right, they were looking at the last couple of years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were... As they do every year, they were looking at seeing whether a life use can be something that they can lean down the road. And fortunately, unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, they did succeed in their new budget, which was passed and doesn't get a lot of fanfare, in really impacting community Medicaid. And
huge.
If I could just preview it for a moment here, we always say, whether it's on the radio, in a seminar, in a consult, you give our staff a couple days, right? There's 12 days left in this month. You give me 12 days, and we can get your loved one qualified for community Medicaid. And we would say this so aggressively and passionately and we so confidently because there was never a look-back period. So we knew we just need to move things around. We need to create a trust. We need to fund it. We need to maybe move things to your spouse, to anyone, right? Just so that on the first day of May, you would qualify. And that's absolutely true. In fact, that's still true. The big change, though, Harry, is starting October 1st as of right now. October 1st.
That's the magic date, October 1st.
What happens
after October 1st, the rules are dramatically different. David, you want to tell them about it?
Sure. So there's a 30-month look-back period that's going to be instituted. And... there still needs to be a little fine-tuning on some of these ramifications, but the basic is we apply for your loved one with a Medicaid application that's dated October 1st of this year or later. Your loved one's application will be looked at with 30 months, 2.5 years worth of financials provided, and they will be looking just like they have in the past for nursing home applications. They're going to look for non-exempt transfers. What have you gotten rid of? What did you put in your trust a year ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to penalize you for it. Now, the math is a little different. You know, home care is different. There are certain exemptions. For example, your house is exempt in a home care application.
Well, for home care, sure. Yeah.
So there's certain, it's not quite, all right, it's the nursing home application situation, except it's 2.5 years instead of a 5-year look back period. But what it seems like they're doing, Harry, is if it turns out you did something a year ago, okay, and 6 months from now,
correct,
we apply for Medicaid. So now it's November, guys, right? You're applying for November 1st.
Right.
In a world of 2.5-year look-back period, that look-back period includes something I did a year ago before I even knew this legislation was happening.
Okay, so unlike many other Medicaid statutes, the transfer penalty is not grandfathered in, okay? So in order to qualify now, if you need home care now, you better get an application in and approved before October 1st, right? Is that what we're telling people?
Essentially,
you're
right.
Eligible. You have to be eligible for the care now. And let me just, we're coming up, I think it's the half hour, but if you get approved, okay? For instance, we were talking about my mother-in-law earlier. My mother-in-law has been on the home care program for 2 years. Now, when she first applied, she was still in pretty decent shape. And when we first applied for her for home care through the community Medicaid program, her initial approval was only for 15 hours a week. Right? That's only about 2 hours. What she got was 5 hours a day, 3 days a week, 15 hours a week. Okay? Today, she's approved for 70 hours a week. Once you're in the program, all right, once you're in the program, if I understand this correctly, you can periodically, and we have now two or three different times, requested an increase in her hours. So someone comes out and evaluates her and says, yes, she needs more hours. They approve more hours, and then they approve even more hours after that. But, so once you're in the program, then you can get the hours increased. But if you have a family member who is currently in need and would qualify for that care, for heaven's sakes, let's get them in the pipeline before October 1st.
Yeah, you know, Harry, we have a lot of clients who are on the fence about this, where we've met with them, the program makes sense, but their loved one probably doesn't need enough care right now to justify what they consider to be all the bells and whistles and logistics of the program. And what we always say to them is, well, you know, mathematically, if you looked at it, right, the earlier you apply always, the better, because even if you're getting a handful of hours, it's good to get acclimated with the program. The program does take a couple months to go from application to caregiver being paid by Medicaid knocking on the door. But also, Ben, we always talk about this. We're not Debbie Downers. We're realistic.
That's right. Realistic. That's right.
Ben, today you're a day older than you were yesterday.
That's true.
Factually correct. So everyone's going to get older, and especially when we're dealing with elderly, and in particular when there's diagnoses like dementia, when there's really serious physical ailments that aren't going to go away, they're going to get worse over time. So you're only going to, as Harry mentioned, only going to get more hours over time. So the more hours you get over a lifetime, the better that investment was. Now, that's the way we would look at it before, right? And it makes sense to me. But the logistics of it is real. So I understand how many people say, no, not yet, or we'll do it if we absolutely have to, right? This is a absolutely have to now, because of the financial ramifications. It's not as simple as, well, we'll just apply when we need enough hours to make it make sense for us. Because if you wait that long, that 2.5-year look-back period is a complete game changer. It may be in tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, because of that wait. So obviously, we're not saying find a way to have a need for long-term care right now. We're saying if that need already exists, even if it's a little bit, you really want to look into it, and it's not all us right now. We have until October 1st. We're expecting a lot of our clients who are on the fence to be making decisions over the next 3 or 4 months, so that way in August and September, we can move heaven and earth to get their loved one qualified with an application that's dated before October 1st. So that's kind of the name of the game on the numbers side.
Now, I would urge people not to wait till August or September if you think you would qualify now, because, you know, there'll be a flood of this. This happened back in 06 when DRA 06 went in, and we had a rush of people who were trying to do trusts that were covered. And back in 06, 14 years ago, was when the social services, when we went from 3-year look back to 5-year look back. And, and I think we're going to have some level of the same crunch here. If you think you're in that position with a family member, please call us as soon as, you know, really. I mean, this is
to get information,
critically,
Harry.
It's critically important.
Yeah.
The care that you get, I mean, I'm not just telling you theoretically as a lawyer. I am living this right now in my own home. I have caregivers coming in. My wife has found them. Okay, we found our own caregivers. They are not, and they are two of the most incredibly wonderful people in terms of their caregiving skills and understanding, and maybe we're just lucky. But it's a remarkable. We wouldn't be able to do this if we weren't able to do this through the home care program. We would have to put my mother-in-law in a nursing home, which is the last place on earth I would want her to go at this point, given this coronavirus pandemic. Nursing homes are at great risk for these problems. If you can keep your family member home in their house or your house, for heaven's sakes, that's the best option right now until this thing is over with.
And right now, we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Harry Miller.
Good morning. I'm Dave Kubikian.
And Dave and I are two of the attorneys with the Herzog Law Firm. We have our main office at Corporate Woods in Saratoga. Right now, the Saratoga and Corporate Woods office, I think, are the only two we're operating. So we are under... Our part of our practice is considered essential, obviously, with what's going on. And so, but we have a limitation of how many people can actually be in the office at any particular time. And so some of us are here on various days, and some of us, the rest of us, are working at home remotely. And it is a little, it's a little bit of an adjustment for all of us, but it seems we've been doing it now for, what, 3 weeks or so?
About a month.
A month. And, it's working. It's working. David is one of the people who is in the office probably almost more than anyone, David and Deborah. But it's working out good. So we are here. If you have a call, if you've got a question, we've been talking for the last half hour a lot about the dramatic changes in the Community Medicaid Home Care Program. And so if you have questions about that or anything else related to our field of elder law and estate planning, we'd like to hear from you this morning in the last half hour. The number here in the studio is the same number you call every week. It's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. So, David, go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned, so first of all, hopefully it doesn't sound too awful, because I love seeing you in the studio, Harry, because I could look at you, and I know from a look from you, you're going to be talking, or I know this or that. We'll make the best of it, though. So, you know, Harry, you mentioned...
Those kids' periscopes where you could look up, you could see around the corner. We've got to get one of those periscopes with a mirror so you can, because David and I are in the office here at Corporate Woods. And luckily, our offices are right next door to each other, but but we can't see each other. But we're working on that.
So, Harry, you mentioned...
I think we got to Zoom. We have to Zoom. Maybe we could Zoom while we're on here, huh?
We could. You mentioned Albany and Saratoga. So we do have some staff in those two offices, but we are serving all four of our locations, which is Kingston, Albany, Saratoga, and Clifton Park. We've had document signings down in Kingston. We've had consultations with clients who are down in Dutchess County. We've had meetings with people who are up in Glens Falls. And the way we're doing those meetings is either by phone or Zoom, most likely at least a teleconference. And we have a digitized questionnaire and you know, through the marvels of modern science and technology, we're able to do everything that we've always been able to do for the clients. And, you know, in fact, maybe it's even a more relaxed setting for the client to be in their own home when they're talking about things, because they're not fun topics in general, right? When we're talking about dad needing assistance, that's not a great topic. And when it's in a room we've never been in with someone we've never met, certainly that's not a recipe for being comfortable. So it has actually been quite nice to
be doing it by phone, believe it or not. And as I mentioned, you know, for document signings haven't been a problem because of the procedures we've implemented. So it all works. And instead of in-person seminars, as we talked about in the first half, we are doing these webinars. And so if you want to have, you know, we do free consults. If you want to do a free consult, if you want to register for one of the webinars, you can call us at 518-465-7581. You can email us at info@herzoglaw.com. You can go to our website and click register here on our seminar tab if you want to go to one of those webinars. In short, we're here for you. Okay. Now, we were talking, Harry, about the community Medicaid changes, and the big headline is the look-back period. Okay.
Yes.
And the way the wording is on this look-back period, it appears to apply to the applications that are filed after a certain date, regardless of when transactions are done.
So the key here is to get your application filed before October 1st. Is that correct? Even if it hasn't been approved. Is that okay? Am I giving correct information on that?
That appears to be correct.
Right.
So you don't want to apply at a time when you're not going to be approved because they can always say, well, we're going to adjust your date and your date's going to be November, not October. So you can't be cute about it. But
right.
The idea is that we're just assuming you're going to be financially qualified because we will make that so. And then we would want to make sure that the effective date of that application is September. That would be our goal. Now, there's a lot of confusion out there, and it may be that there's some clarative change to the budget that you know, these aren't as elder law attorneys that drafted this, right? So there may
be some... there haven't been any regulations issued about this yet by the Social Service. This is part of the budget, so it is a statutory amendment. But there are no regulations to guide us at this point, if I understand that correctly.
Well, right. The way things were worded in the budget's a couple hundred page document while we were mm-hmm. provided. It seems to indicate that it's just about the application date. Now, that obviously right. means that if you already have a need for these kinds of services, get off the fence and apply. And apply before October 1st. And if you need these services to begin with in general, the sooner the better because of everything else I laid out before, which is you have a need, right? Mom shouldn't have to take care of dad without help. Those kinds of principles. The other part of it, though, Harry, is if you don't have a need, if you're feeling healthy and you're 66 years old and you got a house here and you're thinking about buying something in Florida, whatever's going on in life, okay, we always want you to be proactive. And in the past, we've said, well, look, set up a Medicaid Asset Protection Trust, get that clock ticking. Let's make sure we avoid probate because that saves money for us. And do it all in a way where you control your assets, you get to enjoy your assets, life goes on, all is well, right? It's the best way to prepare for something that may happen while not giving up and saying, well, I'm not going to live my life because this thing might happen. The trust allows you to basically live and do whatever you want to do.
Harry and David, we do have a phone caller. We have Diana from Albany.
Good morning, Diana.
Good morning.
What's up?
I had a question. If I come into a bit of money mm-hmm. from the death of my husband, more money than I normally have, and I have a look back for this
inheritance.
We're talking. Look back for health care, you know, to stay at home.
Right. So if hopefully you're not in that situation, I hope everything's well with your husband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, he's dead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So she inherited the money from him, yes.
So if I get money like that, can I protect it from this? 30 some months?
Yes. So the answer is, Diana, you can, but it's not instantly protected. Now, between now...
Do I have to
and,
get into a trust?
Well, right. So we would likely recommend, and there's a lot of different facts and circumstances that go into this. We'd want to know what other assets you have, and we won't talk about that now. right? But we'd want to talk about it in a confidential appointment. And it may be that we recommend that you do a trust, okay? And it may be that it's this Medicaid trust.
I suspect I should, but I didn't know if it would eliminate them taking my money.
Well, what it'll do, and thank you so much for the call, Diana. What it ends up doing is it starts a clock. If we created a trust for you, and it was that trust was dated May 1st of this year, there's a clock, an imaginary clock that starts to tick. And if you needed services at home because you have long-term care needs right now, certainly we would talk about that. And as Harry and I have mentioned, we would want to apply for that kind of service before October, because there's going to be a 30-month look back that starts after October. But if you don't need those services, and it's just about being proactive, well, we're going to make sure we avoid probate for you, and that imaginary clock keeps ticking. So it may be 2 years from now, it may be 3 years from now, maybe never, but if at some point you have long-term care needs, depending on where we are on that look back, where we are on that imaginary clock, we'll be able to say, look, you have the option of home care at no cost because you've gone past this period.
You're past the look-back period, and it makes a lot of sense, because each month that goes by is 1 month less that you have to cover yourself. If you are subject to the, if you don't have a current need, there's no point in applying because you wouldn't be approved. But even if you don't have a current need, if you start the process now, as David said, you're shortening every month. You have one less month that you might have to cover home care for yourself in this program. And let me just want to clarify one thing, because the caller indicated something about will they take my money. The Social Services Department, the Medicaid Department, nobody actually takes your money. They don't seize your assets. What they do is they would deny your application, and what that means is you'd have to pay for the care yourself until you got through the 2.5-year look back period. So if we can shorten that look back period to 1 year, or ideally to no months at all, if you did it now and you have no need for the next 2.5 years, you're okay. So that's why planning ahead. I mean, even 25 years ago, when my retired partner Sholem Kapovitz was doing the radio show, he always said, "Sooner is better than later." Now more than ever, sooner is better than later.
Absolutely. Speaking of Sholem, he's going to be attending one of those webinars.
I heard that. He is, and many of you listeners out there, I know you remember Sholem, because he is, among other things, memorable. And he is alive and well and living in West Palm Beach, Florida, down at the PGA National. He has a house on one of the golf courses at the PGA National, and I think he's, actually talked to him not too long ago. We had a dear client of ours who'd been a client of the firm for probably 50 years who died recently, and I talked to him because he wanted to get her son's telephone number so he could call her son, and he's good. He's in good shape, and he's happily enjoying his retirement.
Well, you know, Harry, we'll see how he's doing, because on Monday, April 20th, he's going to be listening to me talking about wills versus trusts. He's one of the registrants.
Okay. Well, be prepared for an email critiquing your presentation.
I do have the ability of muting other people on the program, so I may just mute him. Actually, everyone will be muted. But anyway, we have seminars, these webinars this coming week, and they're incredibly easy to access, and you don't have to get in your car anymore. The only downside, Harry, is really that I'm not providing any cookies anymore like we used to at the in-person seminars.
Oh, can't do virtual cookies?
I feel like you can maybe share. You have some recipe, I'm sure. You could probably share it with them. So Monday.
Well, the other night I baked this incredible strawberry banana bread. And, you know, I said, oh, my God, we'll never eat that. Well, it's almost gone. You know?
I regret bringing up cooking. April 20th, Monday, the webinar is going to be at 1 p.m. So every day next week, 1 p.m., we'll have a webinar. Monday's webinar is called Wills versus Trust, talking about the similarities and differences of these two types of documents and what may be the right fit for you and your family. On Tuesday, same time, 1 o'clock, we're going to be talking about community Medicaid, what Harry and I have been talking about the last half hour, and the changes to the program, the parts that have not been changed, because there's a lot of detail that goes into this program and whether it's going to be a good fit for your family and for your loved one. On Wednesday at 1 p.m., we're going to be talking about estate and Medicaid planning. This is our big picture seminar where we start with healthcare proxies and wills, work our way through trusts, and then eventually Medicaid trusts and some pretty in-depth crisis planning. Mom needs a nursing home tomorrow, never did a lick of planning. What do we do? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday at 1 p.m., we're going to be talking about myths that are out there. It's just bad info out there about...
And there's planning. A lot of it out there, and there's a lot of scams and myths, and it's, yeah, it's... right.
At least once a month, someone says to me, well, what about that seven-year look-back period? I say, I don't know what you're talking about. There's a five-year look-back period.
Two conference calls this week, and two people... I've had more than two conference calls, but in two of them, people asked me that question. I thought they moved it from 5 to 7. No, they have not moved it from 5 to 7.
Isn't that interesting?
5.
And then Friday, again, because these big changes to community Medicaid are so landscape-changing, they really, really change the way that we're going to be doing things. It changes how much work goes into your Medicaid application, for crying out loud, because there's, 30 months of things we need to provide to Medicaid going forward. We're going to be talking about that again Friday at 1. If you'd like to register for one of those webinars, you can call our office at 518-465-7581. You can email us at info@herzoglaw.com. You can go to our webpage, www.herzoglaw.com, and click on seminars, and each one of those webinars will be listed, and you can click. You can do them all if you want to. Okay. There's
you
no,
can sign
there's
up for everyone,
there.
Right? Yeah. Now let me ask you something, Dave, because I'm not, sure. I'm not as computer savvy as you are, and some of our listeners out there may not be so computer savvy either. So what happens at Monday at 1 o'clock? They turn on their computer, and what do they do? How do they get into this Zoom? How do they get into this virtual presentation? What do
Very
they do
question.
On their computer?
Yep. So we will email you. The whole reason why we ask that you register is so we can email you the invitation. It's a email invitation. So all you need to do is open that email and click on the line that says click here, and all of a sudden you're in the webinar. And I will be sharing my computer screen with them, and my computer screen will have all the slides.
Mm-hmm.
After the presentations are over, we will be emailing everyone that participated in the webinar with a copy, a PDF of all the slides.
Yeah. Okay.
And off they go. And they could share that. And ideally what we'll be doing is starting the week after, these webinars will be available on demand. So if 1 p.m. isn't a good time for you, email us. Let us know. We'll make sure to email you the full video once it's available.
Oh, that's great. That's a great option in case they got something else, going on at that time. They can watch it later.
I don't know what anyone's doing these days, Harry, at 1 o'clock, so might as well do a webinar, but,
Absolutely. But it's, and this Zoom, the Zoom thing, now they have to download Zoom, though, don't they, if they don't have that, right?
They actually don't.
They don't
have to download Zoom, no.
Oh, okay.
You can.
If you can, they will see you. If they don't have that, then what? They'll hear it.
There's also a link for audio, and if they're using a computer that doesn't, I'm sharing their screen, so I don't need to see the clients at all, right? They just need to be able to look at their screen. And you can do it on a phone, you can do it on a tablet, you can do it on a desktop. It's really quite nice. Now, Harry, we talked about this Medicaid change to community Medicaid.
Yeah.
We talked about how it creates this need to really, an increased need to plan ahead of time because our get out of jail free card, so to speak, are, all right, you never did a lick of planning, but lucky you can get care at home. You qualify immediately. Now that's gone. So it really puts the emphasis on planning ahead of time, which is what everyone should really be doing or looking into anyway. There's another couple changes that they made, and one of them is something that I guess we could talk about on the radio. The other one gets a little too in the weeds, and I don't want to confuse people. But long-term care itself, right, Harry? How would if I said to you, what's the difference between health care and long-term care, or what exactly is long-term care? What would you say to me?
Well, long-term care is health care generally is more acute in terms of hospitalizations, doctor's visits, and things. Home care is more in the nature of personal care services and custodial matters. It involves helping people do what are called the activities of daily living that they can't do for themselves, like walking and getting on the toilet, getting dressed, feeding themselves, taking their medication, bathing them, all those things. Companionship. So, sitting there, the ladies that are caring for my mother-in-law are there with her. They are each there, I think, 5 or 6 hours. They each do a 5 or 6 hour shift. One comes in the morning, like from 10 to 3, and then one comes from like 3 to 9. And they get her up, they bathe her, they help her, they get her dressed. She can't walk, and she has mid to late stage dementia. So they make her breakfast. Now, she can still feed herself. She can still sit at the table in her transport chair and eat. She can get the food on the fork and put it into her mouth. She can pick up a glass and drink. So to that extent, she has those physical attributes. With the dementia, she would have no idea when to take her pills or what pills to take. Okay, so medication management. Harry, evening they make her lunch, they make her dinner, they get her bathed, they get her into her nightgown and into bed for the night. And so that's what they do. They take care of her during those 12 hours a day.
So you hit on the you win the grand prize because you mentioned activities of daily living. Yes, you do.
Oh,
you do. I'm going to give you an elbow bump at some point when I'm allowed to by law.
So a virtual cookie will do.
So one of the other parts of the changes is that you need three of those activities of daily living in order to be qualified from a need standpoint.
Oh, it used to be two. Is that right? It used to be two, and now it's three?
It's three.
So you have to lack three of the 5 or 6 ADLs. Right, okay.
Right. However, if there's a dementia diagnosis, right, then it's really just one.
If you have a dementia diagnosis, in all likelihood, unless it's very, very early on, and even then, there's a high probability that you will be approved for services at some level, even if it may not be a lot initially.
Right. So if we're taking a bigger picture look, what exactly were these changes? It seems like, in addition to the obvious that they want you to have to plan ahead of time and not just be able to qualify next month as actually you do on May 1st, and you do on June 1st, you do on July 1st, and August 1st this year, and that's why we want
you to monthly.
Pack.
It's a monthly program. Yeah.
Right.
So you got to get your ducks in a row in May if you want to apply in June. And
right.
We'll help you with the financial part of it. Yes.
So they eliminated that, or they're looking to eliminate that over time, and thankfully it won't go into effect for a number of months. The other thing that they've done, what do these changes all mean? They're making it so that the people who kind of sort of need help don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They're going to make it so you really need help in order to qualify, so that way they're not using hours and paying for hours of services for people who kind of sort of need.
Who just kind of sort of need a babysitter or a companion. Yeah, right, okay.
And certainly you'd say, well, this is my mom you're talking about, right? She absolutely needs help, and how dare they minimize it or, kind of sort it. No, she really needs it. I understand that. But the qualifications-wise, they did make it a little more difficult. They added that third ADL. When there's dementia, Alzheimer's, you don't have to worry about the third ADL. But big picture, I mean, and Harry, I mean, this is, I've told clients, I'm sure you have, look, I'm not, a mathematician, but I know that things cost money in our world, and I know that roads cost money, and I know these programs cost money, and I see in the future, my personal crystal ball has estate tax exemptions that come down a little bit over time, perhaps.
Yeah.
I see these look-back periods extending. The reason why, Harry, everyone says to you, what about that 7-year look back period is because it's not shocking to think the look back period is going to go up. It will one day. I don't know when, but it's gonna.
At some point, it will. I mean, this probably even predates you being a lawyer, David. I can remember back when there was a flat-out 24-month look-back, back in the 70s. When I was in law school, working at the summers at the Legal Aid Society in Albany.
Hey, guys. I know we have about a minute and a half left, but I have Tom from Clifton Park on the line.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. I just have a quick question for you. Good morning. In Medicaid trust, who are the beneficiaries?
The beneficiaries of your trust. So you are the income beneficiary if it's your trust, right? So the creator of the trust is the income beneficiary during the trust. But the actual beneficiaries are those who would take when the trust was terminated. And the beneficiaries today are if the trust terminated today because the person who set it up passed away, who would receive? So it's somewhat of a moving target. So if you name your issue, so it's your kids, if heaven forbid one of your kids predeceased you, your beneficiaries now include maybe some of their grandkids if you worded it that way. So it's a moving target, but it's always measured as of this moment.
Yeah, so, but while you're alive, and if you're married, you and your spouse would be the beneficiaries. While you're alive, or either of you are alive, no one else receives any money from the trust other than you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The contingent beneficiaries who get it on death have no legally vested interest until you actually pass away. And in the interim, you have the ability to change those beneficiaries if you choose to. Now, most people will never do that, but sometimes they do. So, while you're up and running, there no one will receive any distribution from the trust other than you, or you and your spouse.
So, upon death, is that distributed by the will?
Well, no, it's not. One of the other really great thing about the trust, besides protecting your assets from these exposures for care, is it eliminates the need for your children to probate the assets that are in the trust. So when you die, your child, if one of your children is the trustee or your brother, they're still the trustee.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.